I'm very, very happy now to welcome Jerry West. He is a painter, and he will be speaking tonight at Tipton Hall, sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute, and showing a film that he made, or that he helped to make, called A Prairie Night. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, Mary Charlotte, it's a pleasure to be here. It really is.
Now, you were born in the 1930s in... Mm-hmm. This area, in northern New Mexico.
No, that's another long story, but I will bring that up when I talk tonight. I was born in Ohio.
Ah.
My parents had been here in Santa Fe for a number of years. My older brother and my sister were born here. My sister was born in a little homestead south of Santa Fe, way out on the prairie, what we call now the prairie country. She was born on a homestead in the middle of a snowstorm, so to speak, you know, and the doctor came all the way out across those roads that were unpaved and birthed my little sister. Then they went back to Ohio during the real height of the Depression, and I was born back there in that 1 year. And Hal went on, got a job. And Hal, my father, went on to Cincinnati, got a job. And the next year he got a job back in Santa Fe. So that we came back on a train, I and my older brother and sister and my mama. And we went back to Canyon Road and lived there. So I'm almost a native in that respect.
And I think, I mean, what's so interesting about this short film is that it shows a northern New Mexico, Santa Fe, and in this environment the way it was in your memory, your dreams, in the early part of the 20th century, mm-hmm. and it's a very unromanticized look at this part of the country in some ways.
Yeah, it has that sense of romance also, but it is, and it was, I think, purposefully, I was having a lot of dreams in that period. It was a very tumultuous time in my own life, and, you know, some travel, getting away from Santa Fe. I mean, to get to New York, as I say, a country boy, I've been to big cities, but I'd never been in New York City, and I got there, met a woman who we traveled together, went to Greece, places like that, went to Mexico, subsequently met Maridel and came back here, and we started a whole other period of our life. And, you know, Maridel was incredibly important in my work. She was the one who sort of really supported that kind of digging into your own psyche and your own work.
Now, so when did you make the paintings that are shown in the film?
I made them in the 1980s from a little studio. Maridel had gone to Colorado, University of Colorado, as a guest artist, and I took a little studio down Larimer Street in Denver. And it was kind of isolated in a sense, and it was a little upstairs space, narrow and beautiful in a way, and I fixed it up, and I was doing smaller paintings. I started doing very intense kind of drawings and paintings of the dreams that I had kept records of for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years of my life in that period. And they all seem to be about growing up in a time, in a place, in the war years, the post-war years, and some very troubled times, kind of emotionally. And yet some very wonderful times, you know. So war in New Mexico, you know, we were pretty isolated, but it was still pretty amazing times. And then to watch to be around and watch the development of Los Alamos from a distance. We didn't know much about it in 1943. We just knew this mysterious thing was happening. And that was country where I had been as a kid. And my older brother and I had to walk that country and explored it intensely, you know, as young men. And to see this whole country now being changed and blasts, the road blasted and all the explosions that went on for a number of years, it was kind of, you know, I mean, we knew something grave and serious was happening there.
The film A Prairie Night was shot by Stana and Woody Vaselka. And there's all sorts of recordings in it, sound recordings, not only of your voice kind of narrating, but also recordings that you made in, what, the 1950s?
Well, probably more. I started teaching Santa Fe High School in 1959, and I was in and out of teaching. I finally went So my last 3 years of teaching were at Santa Fe Prep, in the early, early days of prep when we were up on Canyon Road. And it was during that period that I was messing around a lot with reel-to-reel. And in my classes, I would bring people into the classroom. And we would I would either interview with them or whatever and record them and that sort of thing. So you'll hear an old Tewa Indian talking, and that was one of the guys. But there were other old characters that came in and out of our family, you know. And from that, I would record and a family gathering and my kids as little kids, you know, around a Christmas party or people coming and talking about Hal. So many of these dreams happened way after Hal died. He died in 1968.
And so your father died in 68, and there's a lot of memories of your father
right.
in your work.
Yeah, and families in general. My brother Arch, who I, for some reason, kind of is my alter ego or something, he was the one who never left the prairie, who knew what he wanted to do from the very early on in his life, and he continued to be a rancher, you know. I was always troubled by being in one spot or whatever, but it was always pulled back. You know, it's kind of like wherever I was in the world, you know, it could be in Mitla, Mexico, and I had these intense dreams of the prairie. And so in some ways, and I guess dealing with a Jungian psychologist, an analyst, it was pretty interesting because I sat with John Talley for a while and a man who at least gave me courage to go ahead and use the dream possibly as a launching point for more interesting work. And before that, I was certainly encouraged back in the graduate years when I was at Highland University studying little art. Elmer Schooley was a great teacher, and he certainly did everything in his power to get me away from this kind of storytelling.
Why?
Because the mantra of the day, you know, in abstract expressionism, you didn't bring emotional images into a painting. Emotion for Schooley and that whole great movement of art was to keep personal images out of it, and the emotion came from the way in which you handle paint and the passages of paint and color and design intense things that happen within the paint itself.
Right. Yeah,
and
classic modernism.
Yeah, exactly. And it took me a lot of years, and it was probably wandering around New York and being in touch with black artists and the women artists and eventually getting in touch with somebody like Maribel.
Your partner, Maribel Rubinson.
Yeah. And she was certainly, you know, a classic, a kind of a woman who had fought that and was a real feminist artist, in a sense.
And so, basically, you had to fight against the dominant art establishment in order to have personal and emotional imagery in your work.
I think so.
That's crazy.
I think, it was. But, and, you know, it took me a while, and then I got to the point where I was just going to do it, and I wasn't any longer concerned with what other people thought about it, which everybody has to get past that particular,
right.
You know, the people who kind of guided you, it takes a long time to kind of get past that.
So this film that people are going to see tonight if they go at 6 o'clock to Tipton Hall is one of the things that's interesting about it is you've got some paintings that are apparently quite large and have a lot of imagery in them, but we see them in the film in their many
right.
details, sort of traveling around from one place to the other. More than you see the big
picture.
Yeah,
I have to give credit to Steno Vasolka for that, you know, because she was the one who basically did the filming. And they actually are not large paintings. I mean, I had painted a lot larger than that. They're probably about a 36 by 48, you know, format. And they're all done with acrylics, which was something I hadn't been working with. I work most often in oil, but they were done in the small studio in Denver, Colorado. And at the time when I finally got a show on Garcia Street in a little gallery we called Height Bear, they gave me the freedom to actually put together the gallery in a sense. And I painted the walls blue. I did animal tracks. I did three-dimensional little shrines and things hanging like a Zuni Shalako house or something like that, with the old Butte, and particular things that were really intense in my growing up, like the old Butte, which was a focal point for so many things. And so I did that, and the sound piece, as I said earlier, was made from these early recordings of my family, and then I recorded animal sounds and windmill sounds and water dripping or whatever, just to give it this kind of, and when I wanted it to be kind of a dreamscape in a sense that to walk in there and be a little more like a dream. And I really wanted to depict kind of the underbelly of that world that I'd grown up in, which was not all dark. I mean, there was a lot of darkness which I felt should be brought out and at least mentioned. And it was not favorably accepted by everybody. Many of my old relatives, I had an uncle who walked out of the show. He was so disturbed by the imagery.
Jerry West is a painter, and he will be showing the film tonight, A Prairie Night. It's at 6 o'clock at Tipton Hall, sponsored by the Santa Fe Art Institute. For more information, you can call the Art Institute at 505-424-5050, and you can also find them at sfai.org. And the film A Prairie Night was shot by Stena and Woody Vaselka, and we look forward to seeing you there and seeing this film.
Mary Charles, it's been a pleasure to be with you, okay?
Thank you. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Colors of Jazz.